of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came in. And it's so appropriate that in the darkest time of the year, we light our houses and inside and out. As I think of Christmas trees in our own personal experience, I can remember some challenges along the way. And this year was no exception. This is our first Christmas here in Markham, and our first Christmas in a townhouse compared to a detached house. When we got out our really good artificial Christmas tree, we discovered that it was too big for our little living room. But the advantage of an artificial Christmas tree is that you can just take a section out. So we took a section out, and it was still too big for what we wanted to end up with. Well, the advantage of an artificial Christmas tree is that you can take a few branches off the back. And we eventually got a customized Christmas tree that nestles back into a corner of our living room and still gives us room to move somewhat. As I think back to other Christmas trees, it was just so important early in our marriage to have a real Christmas tree. And so we would go and purchase one. And then it was just that male challenge to be able to put it on a stand and get it to actually stand up. And I had some very personal, private battles with Christmas trees along the way that didn't necessarily develop my character in the right direction sometimes. I read of a young couple that decided that on the second Christmas of their marriage, they would replace their 2-foot plastic Christmas tree that had sat on the coffee table their first Christmas with a real tree. And that they were going to move the furniture back. They were going to have it take up a whole corner of their apartment living room. Well, they scoured the tree lots until they found the perfect tree. Now, this wasn't just any ordinary tree. I haven't been out on the lots for a few years because this wonderful artificial tree that we have is lasting well. So, but in the last few years that we bought a Christmas tree, there were manicured or cultured Christmas trees. Has anybody ever seen a cultured Christmas tree? Well, I don't know if they use that term here, but this is one that has been shaped by the tree grower. It isn't just left to develop. The ends are trimmed so that it bushes in real tight. You can't see beyond the exterior of this tree. And they shape it so that it's a perfectly shaped Christmas tree and no ugly bare spots where you can see the branches. Well, that's what they purchased. They happily paid their $25, and they set up the tree in just the right spot. At least they tried to set it up. Their perfect tree immediately fell over. It turned their green and red little tree stand into scrap metal just in an instant. Well, they got another sturdier tree stand, and after multiple attempts at standing up the tree, it just would not stand. So they began to investigate further, and as they pressed in and pulled these branches apart that were so thick around the tree, they discovered that their perfect tree had a huge flaw. The base of the tree began centered at the bottom and straight, but in the middle of the trunk, in their words, they described it this way: it contorted in pretzel-like twists, bending this way and that, but coming out straight at the top. It was perfect on the outside, but so flawed on the inside that it could never stand on its own without being tied back to the wall. Well, that flawed Christmas tree became a symbol to that couple of what Christmas is all about. It's kind of a picture of humanity and why God needed to step in at the first Christmas with some good news for humanity. We're all like that tree to some extent. We can look pretty good on the outside. To other people, we can look like we've got life in cruise control. Decorate us up a bit on the outside, hang a few ornaments from our ears and wrists and fingers and neck and every other protuberance that we have. New hairdo, new clothes, and we feel pretty good. But all too often, life puts us through twists and turns so that we can even feel like a pretzel. But do we let that show on the outside? No, we add another ornament, take on another activity, prop ourselves up, paste a smile on our faces, and make sure that we never talk about it. Some deal with it by adding another layer of self-discipline and just put a veil over their faces. Some medicate their pain with a substance of their choice. And life can get so out of balance that we really can't stand on our own, just kind of like that tree. Fact is, more than we care to admit, that's the human condition. And friends, it was the same for people 2,000 years ago. Life was hard, as we think about those shepherds. Life was hard. It was hard to find meaning and purpose. It was hard to have any sense of closeness with God. Disease and war constantly were robbing young life in their communities. It was hard to earn a living. There were unfair taxes. There were unfair courts, or sometimes no courts at all, and the justice was swift and unfair. So much of life and death was beyond anyone's control. Some people look back at that era of human history and call it the dark night of the soul. Well, it was on an actual dark night in a Judean sheep pasture where the injection of God's answer for the dark night of the human soul was first proclaimed. An angel blazed into view. You can imagine, without street lights, without artificial light in their world. It was an explosion. There was no gentle, indirect, or subdued lighting like we're able to have in the sanctuary tonight. This was way more than the biggest campfire they had ever seen. In fact, it was terrifying. Words came from the angel. Good news! Great joy! That was certainly better than what they first expected from this invasion. Then more words, instructions to find a baby in a feed trough, in a stable. This was God's answer for mankind. And then for them, the whole sky came alive with a whole mass choir of blazing angels. And what a song they sang. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. As the music continued, it continued to wash away the fear of the original shock. It left the shepherds full of awe and wonder, stirred them to the will to go and find this baby whose birth announcement was unlike any other baby before or since. No wonder we have a night with candles and carols. That light shining in the darkness, the music of angels on a lonely night, they signify the original announcement of a Savior born in Bethlehem. They remind us that when we are in the dark night of our own soul, when life has injured and twisted like that Christmas tree, when things are bent out of shape in our world and it's hard to stand up straight, the lights, the music peel out to us that there is hope, there is peace, there is joy, all to be found in the person Jesus Christ. Because that birth was the start, just the start, of how Jesus, through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection, can bring light into your darkness, can put a song into your heart. And with the good news that in his death and resurrection, he invited you to come to him, to acknowledge him as the Son of God, to acknowledge him as Savior, to confess your sin to him and receive him as Savior. And he says, I'm preparing a place for you in heaven to all those, for all those who believe. A little later tonight, we'll conclude this time of singing and sharing tonight by singing Silent Night. Remember that from that blaze of light into the original Silent Night, there is a gift of light and song that has your name on it. It's from Jesus. And I pray that even as the shepherds were motivated to seek Jesus out, to see this gift of God for their own selves, with their own eyes, to personally experience it, to persevere until they found that stable and got right to the manger and worshiped him, that tonight's candles and carols will be your motivation to seek him until you find him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your great love for us. Thank you that it came at a time when there was huge despair in the world, into a place where people were ready to receive and to acknowledge, to shepherds who had some good news finally in their lives. We pray, Father, that in our own world, we will open our lives, our hearts to you, to receive into ourselves, into our being, the good news that you offer to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. John and Eva are going to sing.